Hi everyone, I am so excited to have you here. Today we're going to be talking about the most important and first piece you should think about when you want to create a really powerful, authentic, and lucrative brand, which is understanding why you're doing what you're doing. It's so important to have that connection. You may have thought about this before, but honestly, it's a step a lot of people gloss over, because maybe it makes them feel like it's too touchy-feely, or it might be something that makes them feel like it's too grandiose, like just too big. Or sometimes people want to skip this step because they want to get to the money-making part of brand building. But honestly, this is the money-making part of brand building, as you're going to see in just a couple of minutes. But before we jump in, I want to take a little bit of time and talk about what a brand is and why it's crucial to give thoughtful consideration to it as what you want your brand to be. Your brand is not your logo. It's not your website. It's not your tagline or even your mission statement. Your brand is not the pictures you put on social media or the clothes that you wear. It's not even your products and services or your value proposition, because it's all of those things. Your brand is all of the ways that you show up in the world. It's all the ways that you are perceived and experienced by others in the world. It's really your reputation. It's the unique way that you do and see things and the way that you deliver value. And we all already have brands because we've already been around the sun a few times, some of us more than others, and we've made footprints. So unless you are brand spanking new to your business, you already have a brand for your business as well. So if you already have a brand, if you are already out there and have a reputation, why do we want to think about it so much? Why is it so important to think about brand? Well, first of all, we're always evolving. So your brand is not a fixed point. It's not like you brand yourself and it's like, ta-da, that's it, I'm here. I always think about your brand as a line that's moving, and that when you, in quotes, brand yourself, you're just picking a spot on a line that's moving, that's, it's here we are, it's a snapshot of where you are now. But you're always growing and changing, because as human beings, that's hopefully what we do. But you also want to think about your brand because you want to be in as much control as possible about the perception you're giving off. If you're not intentional about your brand, you become a brand by default, which leaves you unmemorable and also not in the driver's seat. So we want to think carefully about the desired perception that we want to give off. And we don't want to falsely manipulate our audience, but we want to be as deeply authentic and ambitious as possible. And yes, I did say ambitious, and I know a lot of people bristle at that, especially women, and especially women who have big hearts. But if you're an entrepreneur, you have ambition. You could be sitting in a cube somewhere, but you're not. You're out there trying to make your mark in the world, and you're here on this call right now. So I know that you care deeply about what you're doing. You've invested your time, your money, your energy into being here and to learn, and to learn how to get more visible, because visibility is the name of the game. No brand presence, but you have to know and be clear about what you're projecting out there. Visibility, authenticity, and integrity are the cornerstones of a killer brand. If you have those three things, you have the makings of something really powerful and really profitable. But if you don't have visibility, you don't have any brand presence. Now, not all brands have those three things. Not all brands are visible, not are all authentic, and unfortunately not all have integrity. And I'm sure that you've experienced all of those. You know, we see it a lot, especially online. There are a lot of cookie-cutter brands, boring brands, copycat brands, because people want to grow their businesses, and it's really understandable that we want to look and see what other people are doing, and we want to learn from role models and mentors and emulate people, but we don't want to copy. And that's what happens, is they're there are trends that develop. People start doing things a certain way, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon, and then things really start to look the same. And that's not how you develop a strong brand. But more often than not, what happens that I see is there are really talented, smart, wonderful people out there doing their best, but they're their own best-kept secret. They just don't have the visibility that they need to make the impact that they want and to make the money they want. So the more that you can stand in the pocket of who you are and what you care about, the more magnetic and truly electrifying your brand is going to be. And that is the juice. That is the juice, baby, that's going to give you the visibility that you want. Because once you tap into that deeper well of passion, nothing can stop you. Truly, I mean financial, personal, political, or even physical obstacles really can't stop you. If you are breathing and living and moving, they may slow you down. You may have to struggle through certain parts. But if not, if you really believe deep to the core in what you're doing and why you're here, you are going to unlock the floodgates to your dreams. But first, we need clarity. We need clarity on who we are, what we stand for, the value that we bring, and who we're here to serve. And that is why we are here together today on this call. We're going to explore those things. Today, we're going to look at the deeper questions and find the answers to the truth behind your brand. We're going to get in touch with why you want to do what you do and what it is exactly you want to be doing. Today, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about your vision, your purpose, and your mission. And those three things sound very similar. You may think they're the same thing, but they're in the way that I teach it, they're slightly different, and they each serve an important purpose in laying the foundation for a really forward-moving, meaningful brand. So if you haven't done it already, I think you have, but if you haven't done it already, you want to take a look and download the template for today, What Is Your Why? And you can follow along and start to think about how you want to fill in the exercises. So the first thing we're going to work on is the process of defining your vision. Having a personal vision is really getting in touch with your big, big why. Like I said, when you know why you do what you do, you're more motivated to move forward. And I like to think about this as having a world vision. Having a world vision puts you in touch with something that's bigger than yourself. It opens up your mind to new possibilities and makes you feel more connected and empowered on a much grander scale. Not only does it put you in touch with what you really care about, it helps you understand what you are willing to take a stand for, which is really what having a brand is all about. It's placing your stake in the ground. So we want to look at your big vision for the whole world and then look at how you fit into that vision personally and how your business fits into that vision. And the reason that we start with this big vision statement is because I want to start the process by having you think B-I-G. I want you to really think big, because why not? Why not think that you can change the world? Because why not you? Why not me? We're here. We have the energy. We have a voice. Why not? We all have unique gifts and unlimited potential. And our task as human beings, and especially as entrepreneurs, is to figure out how to manifest those gifts for the greatest good. And when I say the greatest good, I do mean the world at large, but I also mean your greatest good. Having this sense of vision, this purpose, serves your deepest needs and desires. When you can tap into that, when you feel a deep connection and satisfaction with your work, you will feel so energized. You're going to wake up in the morning knowing why you're doing what you're doing and feeling profoundly motivated. Your vision statement refers to an outside image or goal that you hold. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at these exercises, a vision that applies to the world at large that will take massive effort and resources to accomplish. It's really where I want your brain to be and to marinate for this part of the exercise. We're going to look at all of the pieces. So the vision piece is the biggest, widest part. It's kind of like moving down a funnel. We're going to look at this global piece. And then as we move down the funnel, we're going to look at your purpose, which is your personal contribution to your vision. And then we're going to move even further down the funnel to looking at your mission. And I like to think about the vision as the big global part, the purpose as your personal part, and the mission is your motivation. It's the actual work. So right now, we're going to work on this big vision piece. So I want you to take a breath, really center yourself. We're going to get, I've been kind of energized talking about this because I think it's so important as someone who wants to serve the world in a bigger way, and I know that you guys do. So, but now I want to get, you know, still and really tap in. So take a nice deep breath. If you need to close your eyes, that's totally cool because I can't see you. So ground yourself. So deep breath. Okay. So I want to take you down this path for a minute. I want you to close your eyes, and we're going to start kind of in a dark place. And as you think about this exercise, as we go through this whole process, I want you to think about what resonates with you personally. So we're going to be talking about world vision, global vision, but I want you to think about what resonates in your heart, not something that you think you should feel or that you should care about, but something that you really actually do, that moves you, that sparks an emotion inside of you. So I could talk about wanting to end global hunger, and it's a completely noble cause, but for me, I don't get that like pull in my stomach like, oh my God, I really want to do something about that. I think it's really important, and I think it's valuable, but it's not my personal calling. So as we go through this, I really want you to trust your body. Think about and pay attention to what you feel when these images come to your mind, pay attention to what pops to mind for you as well, because those are important. So close your eyes, and I want you to think about the world at large. What are the biggest tragedies that you see in the world right now? What are the biggest problems that need to be solved, that speak to you? So just think about that for a minute. And as you're thinking about that, I want you to try to narrow it and see if one comes to the surface more. For some people, it's like, boom, I know exactly what that is. And other people are like, I'm not sure. And what usually happens is people pick something they think they should care about, but it's not really the thing that they're connected to because the thing they're really connected to might seem trivial. But it's not, and I really want you to pay attention to that. So the next way to kind of get in there and have access to that is to pay attention to your emotions. As you're viewing these scenes going past your mind's eye, what makes you feel deeply sad? Like, you know, if I'm going to take, for example, if childhood hunger was my issue, and I thought about and pictured a child who was hungry, if that made me feel very sad, I would know I was onto something. And I'll share with you what my world vision is or how I kind of got to my world vision, and mine actually had to do with terrorism. Even, you know, back a while ago, and I don't even know why it was, I guess it was a world event or set of world events that kind of crystallized it for me. But when it just makes me so mad. I get viscerally mad about it. And it's not just because people are being victimized, but just the whole issue of terrorism. And I'm sad and angry and frustrated that those people are doing that and what pain they must be in to feel like that's the only way they can get their voice heard. So for me, that gets me really fired up. So think about that. What makes you really, really feel something strong, something angry, something sad, something frustrating? When you get that, then you know that you've hit on something. And if you're not quite there yet, it's okay. You can marinate on it in the shower, in the car, when you're making dinner. But when you get that jolt of like, oh my God, I wish I could, or that makes me want to cry. That's when you're on to something. So pay attention to that. So that what tragedy, what thing needs to be changed in the world, in your opinion? So now I'm going to take you out of that place, which is kind of hard to be in. And I want you to think about the opposite of that. Imagine a world in a perfect state what would that look like? So if that issue that was making you feel so strongly were corrected, if the problem was solved, what would that look like? What are the images that pop to your mind? What would a perfect world look like? How would the people or the animals or the environment or whatever it is that you feel strongly about, how would that be different? How would the people be living, behaving, interacting? What does the environment look like? What does the globe look like? You know, all of those things. So think about the opposite of that problem. Now, the next piece is you get to be very, very, very powerful and have a magic wand. And I want you to pick the most infuriating thing from the first part of the exercise, the thing that breaks your heart the most or makes you the most angry. And I want you to think about the thing that would change the world or the way the world would look differently. And you get to wave your magic wand and make that happen. So think about what needs to happen to have that change occur. What specific outcomes do you want? You know, if you could change the world, what would happen? How would it be different if you could make that happen? And you just had a magic wand and went poof. Okay? So that was a path to get to your vision statement. So we're going to craft a vision statement. You're going to look at your answers and your thoughts and your feelings from the first part of this exercise, and you're going to create a statement out of it. So an example is, I'd like to see a world where all children have access to healthy food. So the first part of it is children don't have access to healthy food all over the world, and I would like to see them have healthy food. But in order to do that, they have to have access. So that's all in that statement. Or I'd like to see a world where honesty and integrity are valued above all else. Or I'd like to see a world where the oceans are free of dangerous toxins. So remember, this world vision is something big and global. It probably isn't something you could do all by yourself. You'd have to mobilize a lot of people, a lot of money, a lot of energy. It's big. It's a big vision. So here are some ways to think about starting your vision statement. My ideal world would be, I see a world where, in a perfect world, things would be. So for me, mine is, a perfect world would be where all people had access to tools and support to fulfill their potential. Because I feel like if people had that, if those terrorists had that, if they'd been supported, if they'd been loved, if they'd been given the support and the access and the resources to be them best, their best selves and to be heard, they wouldn't do those things. So that's my perfect vision for the world. Okay. I'm going to give you just a second to think about that. And then I want to leave time at the end so you can ask questions as well, because I know that if you've never done that before, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And sometimes, like I said, people get it and they're like, boom, I know exactly it. But sometimes it takes a little bit more thought. I see a world where my version of a perfect world would be. Okay. So the next part of it is purpose. And whereas vision is this global thing, purpose is your contribution, your personal contribution to your vision. Now, don't get intimidated by your vision. I really want you to think big. I want you to see yourself as truly impactful, not just giving lip service, because you do, you absolutely do have the power to make a change and to be a leader. And if you are on this call, you are a leader. So I really want you to embrace the concept that you matter, that you have a voice, that you can make a change in this world. So one way to determine your purpose is to ask yourself, why? Why do I want to see my world vision fulfilled? And thinking about the answer brings your vision down to a personal level. The answer to this question may tap into experiences you had as a kid that helped shape your passion or shape your life. For example, if you grew up and you didn't have enough money to pay for a quality food at each meal, and you really know what it feels like to be hungry, that might really connect you to a world vision of no child being hungry, right? Or if you know how technology has transformed your life or saved the life of someone you know or changed the life of someone that you know that you care about, then you might want to have others to have access to technology as well. If your world vision was, I want a computer in every household, that might be connected to that purpose of having that experience with technology. So for me, I want people to have resources and support to be heard, to have their talent recognized, to have their potential fulfilled. I grew up without a lot of means in life, and I always had these big visions, and I wanted to do big things, but we didn't have the means to do it. And that definitely fuels my passion around this, because I think you have to remember it's from a kid's brain, not from an adult brain, but as a kid, if only I had, you know, da 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 da, I could be at the Olympics right now, or I could, you know, whatever it is. But I can track that back to my personal experience, and that happens for everybody because it's a personal vision. So when you have a strong sense of purpose, it infuses your business and your brand with love and energy, and it magnetizes your audience to you. People need and want leaders. So why not you? You are a leader. If you are an entrepreneur, if you're in this class, you've chosen to step up and serve at a higher level. And when you step up and get clear, really magical things start to happen in your business. So let's take a minute and really think about this. Think about your world vision. Why do I want to see my world vision fulfilled? What does it mean to me? How am I personally connected to that? What in my life has tied me to that vision? What is pulling my stomach? That's where I always feel it, right in my gut, that, oh man. You know, and especially living in Boston and having had the marathon bombings with the terrorists, and it's even more visceral. I feel it physically in my body, that calling, you know. So next, ask yourself, what is your role in making this vision come to life? And this is where your business can fit in. And it doesn't have to be a direct correlation, but it might be. If your vision is to see a more beautiful and peaceful world, it could go different ways. You could be an artist that's creating more beauty with beautiful art, or you could be a therapist who brings more peace and harmony into the lives of families and individuals. So it's not necessarily a direct correlation, but it can be. So for me, obviously, I do branding. I help people speak. I help people perform. I help people get their voice out and be heard and connect to who they are and to fulfill their potential. Well, that's a really direct link. And I was also an opera singer, which also is a direct link to, you know, finding your voice, sharing, connecting, being seen. So if you can connect that, what is your role? How does your business, how do you as an entrepreneur serve that vision? So if you want people to live more peaceful, harmonious, healthy lives, then as a health coach, it makes sense that that would be your role in bringing that to life. And why are you a health coach? What is that pull? What is that strong, deep urge to help people? Or if your purpose is to help people embrace life, to really get the most joy and know that they can go for their goals no matter what obstacles come in their way, no matter what strife or hardships that come their way, that they can have the best life ever, why? Why do you feel that way? And how are you going to use your life and your business to fulfill that purpose? So the next piece is mission. And this is where we're going to get specific. So we've had this broad global vision. Then we brought it into, this is my personal mission. This is my calling. But it's one thing to have a vision. It's another thing to have a calling. But what the heck does that actually look like in real time in the real world? And that's where mission comes into place. How can you turn your purpose into an actionable, how can you turn your purpose into an actionable mission? Phew. This is where you add specifics. Who do you want to touch? How many people do you want to impact? What change or result do you want to create and why? So for me, My mission is I want to help as many people as possible find their authentic voice and unlock their potential so they can live a full throttle life and stop apologizing for their ambition. And when I say that, man, I am ground dead when I say that. I totally believe that. And I've set up my business to do that. So I have a podcast now. I'm speaking. I'm teaching because I want to really get that message out there to as many people as possible as I can touch. And if I could touch some, you know, 16-year-old kid who is on the fringe and can't find their voice and, you know, and they're like vulnerable to getting in trouble and I can touch them with that message, well, hello, baby, I just served my purpose. But it's also through my business and helping other entrepreneurs. But it's my mission to touch as many people with that. Now, that might not be everybody's mission to have that big, big mission to touch as many people as possible. It might be I want to help 1,000 schools get this new curriculum. I want to help 500 women leave abusive relationships in the next 2 years, whatever it is. So you want to get specific, though, because having a vision doesn't fuel you sometimes the way that having those really clear pieces can help you move forward. So I know somebody whose mission is, I want to help 1 million people create profitable businesses doing what they love. And that's his mission. He wants to do that. And he's doing that with online courses. Or someone else, I want to get a computer in every home in America, right? I don't know who, was that Jobs? I don't know if that was Jobs. Nothing ever really great is done without a great vision and a sense of mission, right? Think about soldiers in battle. They are deep-rooted in their sense of mission. It's drilled into them at basic training. They really, really have to buy into their sense of mission to be able to overcome really unthinkable obstacles to get the job done. And you need to have that same level of belief in what you're doing and that same sense of mission. It is really what is going to attract people to you. It's so sexy. It's so sexy to know somebody is lit up from the inside out, on fire, on mission, going for what they want and have a clear path in front of them that they want to accomplish. Your marketing gets wicked powerful. Your priorities get clearer. Your visibility skyrockets because other people hear about your mission, right? I'm telling you about the guy who wants to help 1 million people create profitable businesses doing what they love, and it might be 100 million, I'm not sure. But I know that, and I know that because I've heard him say it like 20,000 times. And it is my mission to help as many people as possible find their authentic voice and unlock their potential so they can live a full throttle life because I am all about that, baby, and to stop apologizing for their damn ambition. I believe that. So it's really, really attractive when you can get in that place and it motivates you. You're introduced to players in your industry. You're perceived as a true, authentic leader and doors start to open up for you. But the most beautiful thing that happens is your own fuse gets lit. You can sit grounded in your authenticity and feel like you're moving forward with clarity and conviction. It's incredibly empowering, and it's to get clarity on your vision, purpose, and mission is the foundation for a killer brand. So think about world changers like Gandhi or Mother Teresa. They had vision. Think about Super Bowl champions or world-class ballerinas. They had vision, but they also had a mission, right? The mission to get to City Ballet or New York City Ballet or to the Super Bowl. It's a clear mission. Anybody who's done anything great had a great sense of conviction about what they're doing. Now, you don't have to have all the specifics mapped out of how your vision will come to fruition, but having a vision, having a purpose, and setting a mission in place will get you there much, much faster than not. So here's the mission exercise. Who? Who do you want to impact? How many? Or where? Where do you want to impact them? And what's the action? What do you want to have happen for that person, for that group of people, for the environment, whatever it is? And what's the impact? So they can, right? So I want to help as many people as possible. Where? How? So that they can anywhere in the whole world. For me, it's the whole world. That's my platform. And what's the call to action? I want them to unlock their potential and get their voice out so that, right, what's the impact? So they can live a full throttle life and stop apologizing for the ambition. And I could take it even further and say, so they could make as much money as they want to, so they can have as big an impact as they want to. And it, I feel that. So I hope if you get anything out of today's call is that this has to light you up. You have to feel it. You have to be engaged emotionally in what you want, because that is the foundation of your brand. That is what is going to set the base for all of your decisions moving forward. And I often think about this as the trifecta of an arrow. You know, your brand, as I said before, is a line that's moving through space, moving forward if you're growing and evolving. But without direction, it's not focused on a target. And I think of the vision, purpose, and mission as being the very head of the arrow that is guiding your brand forward, because it puts your brain on subconscious autopilot. It's not that you're not in action, because you absolutely are, but your actions are super fueled by this sense of knowing exactly why you are doing what you are doing. Okay, that's it for today. Vision is global, purpose is personal, and mission is motivation. I hope you found that helpful. So I am going to unmute the lines now and take your questions. Hold on 1 second. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi. Jim, you should have tricked her and not said anything.
What's that?
I said we should have tricked her and not said a word.
Well, I hope you heard all of that.
I did. That's just my sarcasm. That's how I start my classes, with a sarcasm.
Awesome. So, any questions?
Jen, you can go if you have one.
Oh, no, go ahead. It's okay.
You don't have to have questions if you're
clear. That's fine.
Well, you know what, Heather? I have questions, and I think you hit some high notes, if I could steal your little tagline there.
Okay.
Only to you, of course. Everything you said is extremely powerful. It's extremely impactful. And for me, my purpose is being alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the adversities that I have gone through and the mm-hmm. battles I've been in, I'm still.
Do you
want
to share any
reason.
Of that? Or you don't have to share, but if you want to,
course.
Yeah.
Of course. Jen, I have had, I was an undercover detective for just 3 months shy of 20 years.
Wow.
And I, during my years working as an officer, I was always undercover, and so mm-hmm. no one ever knew. When I delivered my second child, I weighed 265 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand being judged, and our society judges no matter what.
Yeah.
I have lost over 140 pounds, and I ran every single pound off. With that, I went through a divorce. I have two boys. Every opportunity that my chief brought to my attention and sent me to every training possible, I received many, many certifications and advanced instructor courses through POST, which is Police Officers Standard Training,
mm-hmm.
which you could bring that into the public sector as well,
mm-hmm.
which I have done. If I ask somebody, when do you feel most alive, you often hear, when I'm with my kids or when I'm doing this or that. I'm most alive when I am speaking, when I'm on stage, when I'm doing a seminar, when I'm making a difference with somebody else.
Mm.
In March 15th, 2012, as I said earlier, I was an advanced instructor in many different specialized areas. One was defensive tactics and arrest control. And over the years, being the only female instructor, and after losing so much weight, I was the guinea pig and I was thrown around every which way possible.
Hmm.
I had cumulative damage and my T5, 6, and 7 began to bulge. I was in the middle of a arrest with a sexual predator, and I went to pull my weapon and my whole right side went numb.
Oh, no.
Within a month of that, I was diagnosed with cancer. So I have had many life transformations.
Yeah.
And I've embraced every single one as a gift.
You're incredible.
Because I wouldn't be here right now talking if that never happened to me. I'd be on the streets. So my life has completely taken a 180, and I've tried to put the best and biggest positive twist on it as possible.
Mm-hmm. So, Trish, can you share what you think that your vision and purpose are?
My purpose, after going through all of that, I realized I have a gift. And I'm going to own my gift, and that is speaking to people. I have the ability to make people feel very comfortable and
mm-hmm.
tell me things that they would never think of telling anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a lot from all the different interview, interrogation, and all the different kinds of trainings I've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a sexual assault victim myself. I've been a domestic violence victim myself. So when I would work in those units, I got it. And I was able to connect with these women and men and children on a level that many other officers were not able to do.
Cool. So I'm going to help you a little bit now, because I think that one of the ways that would be really useful for you to move forward with everything is to
mm-hmm.
narrow a little bit. And to get a little bit of clarity, so if I really want you to go through this exercise, when you think about your world vision, what is the one thing that you, like, just like, if you could change that one thing, what would it be in the world? And you, you have a lot to choose from.
After knowing all of that, I would like to see children have support when their parents are going through cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Not kids with cancer. My children have had no support.
Mm.
Their father has since been diagnosed, and now my mother was diagnosed 3 weeks ago.
Aww.
So,
how old are your kids, Trish?
16 and almost 14. I have two boys.
Okay.
And they're used to seeing mom leave the house with their gun and badge and know she's going to kick down doors and, you know, do what she does. They weren't used to coming home holding my head up over the toilet, watching every cancer medication reject my body.
Mm-hmm.
So cancer has been
that,
a gift.
Yeah.
It has been a gift.
So
and
I'm going to...
as a gift.
Yes. I mean, you are a phenom. I mean, just quite a phenom in the world, and we're so lucky to have you here. And so my job is to help you and to really get this message out in a clear way. And I love what you said. So can you put it in a statement? I'd like to see a world where children of all cancer victims have the support and resources they need. Would you say it like that?
I would like to see a world where children whose parents and loved ones receive support and resources are available to them while traveling an unknown journey.
Okay, cool. So write that down. You can do it now or later.
How's that? Is that okay when I change some of your words?
It's totally. No. It's your vision statement, so whatever calls to you. So then the purpose is your role in making that happen. So how do you see yourself making that, your whatever contribution to that bigger vision, how do you see your role in that?
Well,
what is your purpose? What is your purpose around that?
My purpose is to start a foundation, which I did, And the purpose now is to, because I've done everything on my own,
mm-hmm.
is to learn how to get help. Because I can't do it on my own.
Mm-hmm. So can you think about your purpose in terms of serving other people?
Serving other people, I would be providing them awareness, providing them resources, providing them support and advocacy. As a cancer patient, I would not call myself a cancer survivor. I call myself a cancer fighter because I survive every day. I embrace every day as a gift.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. Why do you speak? Why do you want to? What is the message you want to get out?
The message is that we're all unique in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a purpose. My purpose is to speak and to show people I want to make a difference, and I want to teach people how to make a difference.
Okay, I think now you're starting to get, I think you're starting to get closer now, the way that you're talking now, right? Because I think you do have you have many purposes, but I think that in terms of what you're trying to figure out right now, this is going to give you a lot of clarity. So what is the message? Why do you speak? What is it that you're trying to communicate to people? Because I think that that's, you know, you said that you feel most alive when you're doing that. And
mm-hmm.
I think that your purpose is wrapped up in that. And there's something that you're trying to give people through your speaking. And I think if you can put your finger on that, that's going to be a tripwire for you. What's that?
I hope it's a gift.
What's the gift, though? What is the gift?
Inspiration.
Inspiration for what?
To keep going and not give up.
Okay, cool. So to give people hope for...
Hope to work through their adversities and
mm-hmm.
obstacles and not give up. And at the same time, make a difference while doing it.
So, cool. So you want to help other people get through their obstacles and so that they can live a more impactful life?
Right.
Okay, cool. So can you see how that is really clear?
Uh-huh. So can you say it again?
Okay. Yeah, so
yeah.
Go ahead. Jen, you want to try?
No,
you want to say?
Well, I was just thinking about, I'm just listening, and it sounds to me like, Trish, you want to help people live a more impactful life. But you also mentioned earlier that you wanted kids to have support when they have a family member that's ill. And I do life and wellness coaching, and one of the pieces I'm very passionate about is our families and helping families, whether I'm working with one person in the family or the whole family. And I'm the child of a parent who had cancer. So I remember years ago feeling like, you know, there was so much support for my mom, but everybody kept saying, "Are you okay?" And that was it. That's all I got.
Thank you.
There was nothing else. And I think that is a really, when you said that, I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. Because I was a teenager. But you see how families are impacted at all ages and all stages of development. And so I think it's a really powerful place. And hearing your story, I don't know, there's just something that really resonated with me about that piece. And I think almost visualize when you're up on stage, who's in the audience? Is it the family member that's ill and you're helping them saying, you know, let's work on this as a whole and help make sure you're getting support for your kids, not just lasagna, but like someone to talk to? Or is it other family members who are the support system, or is it the kids, or is it the families coming together to hear your story? Like, who are those faces that you're looking at? Because I think you're a beautiful speaker, so that's a no-brainer of being on stage.
Well,
but
thank you.
Who?
Separating it, if I can, Jen, the organization that I have started is called Kids Embracing Hope, and
okay.
It's all about kids helping kids. Because
okay.
when my boys said they're not going to no therapist, because how's a therapist going to help them unless they've been through it?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty profound.
Okay.
How
so more of peer groups, like peer groups.
Right.
So let me just jump in, because I wanted to just say that it's how it gets done is not as important as having the vision, right? So those are kind of like details that you can figure out, like the program, the foundation, the audience.
Okay.
But right now, I really want you guys to get clear on your vision and what your purpose is. And I think you're getting this. I love this discussion, and I think that there is some major, major, like, divine intervention going on here that you two are on this call together. It's insane. But the vision of, if you feel so pulled that you want kids to have support, that's perfect. I think that's a perfect vision.
Yeah.
And then, but I really want you to get clear on your purpose. What is your purpose to do that? And is it, when you're speaking to the audiences, that's why I think that you're getting close, is it to bring them awareness about life afterwards? I think, but I will say what you were saying as well, Jen, about having a clarity around the audience. But it's not just about the speaking. I mentioned the speaking because I think that's a tangible thing, but it's a bigger thing than that. What, if you want kids to have the support that they need, that's your vision for a better world, then what is your purpose? How can you bring that to fruition? And that might be through your speaking, but it might be through something else as well.
And I think there's almost two things there, because then I almost have to separate. Because, and this is exactly why I came to you, Heather, is obviously the clarity. And because I feel that I have so many different little expertise that to speak on where it's too much. So narrow it down to a few things, right? And those audiences will be different.
That's right. That's exactly right. I'm so glad you said that, because you don't have, this isn't about changing your vision for each audience. It's changing the message. But your vision and your sense of calling is bigger. So
right.
I liked the path that you were on before of, and it's on the recording, thank goodness, of bringing hope and inspiration to people that they can live a fulfilling, impactful life despite their obstacles. Does that resonate with you? I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to help you.
No. You said it.
Okay.
And my little disclaimer is, I, having 10 surgeries and all the anesthesia I've been under and all the side effects of the medication that nothing worked, it makes it difficult sometimes to actually put, you know, the words, but
right.
I can't pronounce them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very frustrating. So I thank you for helping me
yeah.
put that in a sentence.
Does that the big question is, does that sit in your heart? Does it resonate with you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I feel too that it's, you know, I've developed some programs as you have, and, you know, so much of it, no matter what you do in the world, it's your approach.
Right. And having this is the thing that I wanted to make clear is having your sense of vision and purpose. That stays pretty static. I mean, it may evolve over time, but it doesn't change with each program. It's the foundational belief system underneath all of your programs. So I could do, one of my vision statement, part of it before was also about bringing more beauty into the world, because I also believe beauty is very healing. And again, it kind of goes back to helping those people who are hurting. But I could do that through singing. I could do that through image consulting. I could do it through putting pictures on memes and putting them on social media. But it's the belief underneath that stays the same. And when you connect to that, so if you really want kids and families to have the right support. That's your world vision. And then to, like, your purpose around that is to let people know that there is another way of living through and with challenges, and that they still can have impactful, meaningful lives. Do you see how that ties together?
Yeah.
And then the next piece is to get really specific. So the mission is, okay, what's your mission? Is it to get funding for your foundation? Is it to speak to 1,000 audiences over the country to really let them know about how to, you know, live with impact? So what, that's the place, I think, where you might want to spend a little time, is to carve out what you really want to do.
And is it okay to allow yourself to have two of those?
Sure.
Because, like I said, I feel like the Kids Embracing Hope and the cancer does not define me. Being a cop did not define me. Being who I am and allowing other people to be who they are, I like to show people and do interactive exercises to show them how you can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what, Trish, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is kind of what I'm trying to get at with you, because I do sense that there's this deeper thing, and not to imply in any way, shape, or form that cancer is not deep, because it's as real as it gets.
No. But that's why I said it doesn't define me.
Right, and I feel like maybe you might want to even revisit your vision statement, that if people in the world, because I really want you to be connected to it, that people, my mission, and it's totally yours. I want you to take full ownership of it, so it's not mine. But I see a world where all people are cool with who they are, and they're not defined by their obstacles. That might be a way of saying something like that. Cool?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, Jen, do you have anything?
No, I just need to, you know me, I need to process things a little bit. But no, I've been working on this for a long time before today.
I know. Yeah. So did anything new come up today?
No, you know what? I think just the breakdown of it, how your vision is more global and your purpose is more personal, just gives me more structure. I was writing down a lot of thoughts, and I'm just ready to move past this piece for sure.
Do you feel overwhelmed?
Well, I think I'm feeling overwhelmed in general, just because I've been working on stuff. I'm so tired of working on stuff.
Yep.
And I don't know why I'm spinning in that space right now. I just can't quite put my finger on it. So
where do you feel like you're spinning? Because I want to, if I can, I want to help you.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm spinning that I'm constantly revisiting this topic. Like, who do I want to work with? What does it look like? I'm just, rather than do it, and I'm doing it. It's not like I'm not working. You know, I'm working, and I have my beautiful clients who I'm very blessed to be working with. And organically, my business is in a great place. And I think that, you know, my clients are mainly referrals, and that's really how I want it to be. But I maybe just because I'm enrolled, you know, I'm enrolled in client attraction and I'm doing this, I'm coming back to it. And
maybe you already feel like you're clear on this.
Maybe I do, but then sometimes I don't. Like I'm as clear as I want to be.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. So I've been doing this for a while now, and I teach it, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been through this process many times, and it wasn't until I would say maybe 7 or 8 months ago that I really was like, oh, my God, I totally get this at a different level right now.
Hmm.
I really get it. And that whole part I was talking about, once you really sit in the pocket of who you are and have that, it really, really does feel like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens. I don't care how my business looks. I don't care what people think of me.
Right.
I know that this is what I'm doing because I am so connected to it.
Yeah.
And that's my wish for everybody, because it's completely freeing. And it's so empowering. And I know that those are words that people toss out a lot, but it really is. And you can, then you can create whatever you want to create. You can create as big a business or as small a business, as intimate or as, you know, sort of broad as you want. But it's just, I want you to feel like either like, yes, I've got this down, check, I can move on, I'm clear. Or, okay, what do I need? I still need something there because it's still, you know, there's an itch that I'm still scratching.
Well, I think that, you know, for me, whether I'm working with a family as a whole or I'm working with one of the parents, my foundation is always the family. Mm-hmm. And I just, what gets me when you talk about, like, what gets you and breaks your heart is, but if I'm at the supermarket and I hear a kid crying and I watch the interaction of the parent and I'm like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe that's how they're handling it. Now, I don't know this family. I don't know what their life is like.
You sound like me.
You know, but I am that person. I'm the person who usually goes over to the overwhelmed parent and says, do you need help? Are you okay? Because it even gives them a moment to take a breath and get out of whatever ragey place they're in, because I can see, I've just seen too much and I've heard too much that breaks my heart. And so it's helping these parents be empowered and in control so that they can be good parents is really what gets me. And I think that when I have, you know, and I have a couple of men, but really that's that they want to be healthy and strong and good so that they can be good dads. And I think that it's not the kids' responsibility to make it better. And I think that we put a lot on these children and they don't know. And so when I think about a global statement, it's really seeing a world where everyone has a voice and feels empowered so that they can do their best work in the world. And I see a lot of women who feel disempowered and, you know, even close friends who are in great marriages, but I watch the interaction and you can see that one little moment, that one little look from a spouse or a comment from somebody, and it just chips away at you a little bit, that little, and then I see how they pass it down to their kids. And so it's that, it's so subtle, but it's so big, you know? And so I'm having a very hard time putting a word with it. It's
oh, I think you just did a beautiful job. Don't you, Trish? I think you were very clear.
Can I ask a question, Jen? What is your background? Are you a therapist?
I have, so I'm 48 years old, so and I have two kids, too. I have a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old. And I have a master's in counseling psychology. I'm also a certified holistic health coach. I'm Reiki trained. My undergrad was in education. So I've always been in this field of helping, guiding.
Have you ever heard, or Heather, have you ever heard of Parent Project?
Parent Project, I have not.
No, I have not either.
ParentProject.com. I've been a facilitator for about 8 years. These people did not realize how much they brought me and taught me. And it was through our county and through the district attorney's office for Santa Clara County, where I'm in California, where I live. And it's worldwide now because all my family is back east. And my cousin called me and just total distraught. And I was able to find him a class in New Jersey. And he took an hour and a half train after work to get to the class, hour and a half to get home. And it completely changed his family's life.
So it's
a curriculum that a psychologist and a sergeant developed here in California, and it's like 120 hours training that I went through to be an advanced instructor and then a trainer. And every week is a curriculum topic, and like the first one starts off with is love and affection.
I think it sounds really good, and I think that for you, Jen, that I can hear your passion about this, and we've talked about this before a little bit, but this is exactly where you need to be.
like that, I don't want you to move away from that anger or that frustration or that sadness, because that's exactly, that's it. That is the spot.
I just need like the words. I need.
But you just said it, and I wrote it down.
You did write it down. I need.
Yes, I did. And you can go back and listen.
What do you do? I want to be able to.
What's that?
When somebody says, "What do you do?" I want to be able to say it in a really concise way.
Okay, well, we're not there yet, so we'll get there.
Okay.
But right now, I want you to get clear on this vision and this purpose, because I think it's you are circling around, and I want you to just be like, check, I've got that. Done.
Yeah.
Move
okay.
on. You said, I want the parents or the women, and I do think for you it's women, because I was listening carefully. You said men, but you said women like 20 times.
Yeah, well, most of my clients are women. But,
yeah, and it doesn't mean you can't work with men, but it's just having that clarity around it,
mm-hmm,
right? I help
mm-hmm,
women,
mm-hmm.
right? I feel called to be empowered and controlled parents so they can, for women to be empowered and controlled so they can be good parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then you said so that they could have a voice to be empowered to be their best. So I think that those two things combined or part of them can definitely be. Mm-hmm. And I think that the vision, a world where women felt they had a voice and were empowered to be their best so they could be good parents.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's what I wrote, where everyone has a voice and feels empowered so they can do their best. If their best work is obviously, you know, my feeling is if you have children, you have responsibility. So
I know,
and I
really want you
to
take. Yeah, well, I want you to take ownership of that, and I don't want you to be so broad.
Okay.
I want you to take ownership of the parenting piece.
Okay.
Because you get really mad at that.
Yeah.
And so I want you to really sit. Hang on one quick second, Trish. I'll be right there. But I want you to, because it comes back to that, because the why of that is the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
It comes back to that. You know, even if it's empowering, finding their voice, why? So they can be better parents.
Yes.
Right?
Being
so I really want you to.
Yep. Because.
So I want
parents.
You to take ownership of that. And then your purpose is super easy. That's just an extension of that. My purpose is to help women do that so that they feel empowered, so that they feel like they have a voice, so they can be the best version of themselves and to be great parents. And that doesn't mean that's the only thing that you're going to do in your business.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know that that's your purpose, that infuses everything that you do.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
No, it feels good when you say it that way. You know, I just feel like I'm not as clear when I say it the way I say
you're
it.
You're clear.
Maybe.
You know what? I don't think that your issue is clarity, because every time I talk to you, you're clear. I think it's ownership.
Yeah, maybe it's ownership.
And I think you're a little bit nervous about getting so narrow of saying that it's about parenting, because then
I am. I'm a little nervous about getting so narrow.
But don't be. Don't be. Just own it. And that, like I said, you're primarily with women, so take ownership of women. And you want them to be healthier, but it's like you get super pissed off when you talk about people not being responsible to their kids.
I do.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. So just take ownership of it and sit in there. And, you know, nothing's going to happen. The banks aren't going to crumble if a week from now you're like, you know, I really tried that and it didn't work or it didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's really where you want to be. And that's
you
how
you...
You
don't think it's too niche-y?
Too what?
Niche-y, like too small.
Niche-y,
sorry.
Oh my God. It's not a niche. It's not a niche. It's your personal belief system. This is not your business model. This is what you believe.
Okay.
Right? This
good
is your platform.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's an exercise on the worksheet that is about your eulogy, right? If you're at your eulogy, if someone's reading your eulogy, what do you want them to know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want them to say about
it? I already wrote mine.
You did.
Cool. Well, that's going to really help you. So, that you helped, you know, children live better lives or women live better. I mean, maybe it's children and women together, you know. But I think that you need to go there, because I meant what I said at the beginning of the class. We were talking. That is where you build a platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wishy-washy. It's powerful. It's energetic. And you're passionate about it.
Yeah. Yes, I am. Okay. Fair enough.
Did I push your buttons? I hope not.
No, God, no, no, no.
Well, not actually, I hope I did. I hope I did. I hope you got you riled
up. You did in a good way. No,
good.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. I do get very passionate about that word responsibility, you know.
Then put that in your vision. Put that in your vision statement.
Okay.
You know, I see a world where adults are responsible, you know, like are empowered enough to take full responsibility of their responsibility of being a parent. Something like that. I want you to go deep. Get ugly, right? I mean, go to that place.
Okay.
Because if you were giving a talk, I'd want to hear you talk like that. I'd want to hear that passion in your voice.
Yeah.
And you're going to turn people off. You are. The people be like, oh, you know, who does she think she is? Or that's really, you know, that's really strong way to say that. And the answer is yes, it is. Because that's when you build the brand. And then the people who resonate with you will really resonate with you.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes, totally makes sense.
Okay. And then the mission statement is, what do you want to do with that? Then that's kind of like a mission. I want to help women. But be specific. Put some numbers to it. Put some results to it.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You feel good?
Yes.
Excellent. Trish, did you have something else? I know I kind of cut you off. Did you have something you wanted to add?
I wanted to know what the boundary was, because if I had some materials and stuff that I could give Jen, is that allowed?
Well, you know, why don't you guys just hook up with each other? Do you want me to connect you? I can.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll send you guys each other's
just
emails.
Just with the parenting and all the stuff I could, I mean, there's so much material I could share with her that could.
Yeah, I'll just, if it's okay with both of you, then I'll just
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, so same time tomorrow, and tomorrow we'll be talking about your brand story and your point of view, which is an extension of what we talked today. I mean, we sort of started it, and then tomorrow we're really going to go into it.
Can I ask you a quick question about the dates, Heather, before we get off?
Mm-hmm.
So week one is this week.
Mm-hmm.
Week two is next week.
Mm-hmm.
Week three is actually... You have a one-week break, but week three is 2 weeks after the second week on this slip of paper.
Okay,
I just want to double-check. I don't know. Hold on.
This is the first week. Next week, the seventh, is the second week.
Right. And then the third week, thank you so much, Adam.
Oh, did I put the break in the wrong place?
You put the break in the wrong place, or you put the wrong dates in the wrong place. So I just
need to move the break. The break is between the second and the third week. Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay,
Because when we shifted the weeks, I shifted the dates, but I didn't move the break. So I'm going to be in Miami the week of the 14th, 15th. So we'll have, I'll fix that. Yeah, I'm going on a speaking tour. So
I know you are. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so cool.
Okay,
so all righty. Good luck out there.
Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Can I ask one quick question?
Oh, okay, all right.
You're both in Boston?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just received an invitation to see Network. Oh, God, what was it? It's in Boston. It's a conference at the Westin on March 13th. Are you guys aware of that? Do you know anything about
it? I don't know what that is. No,
I don't know either.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay, guys, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, and you'll give Jen my information?
Yep, I will. I'll hook you guys up.
Okay.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you. Nice to meet you, Trish.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.